bless the name of the Lord. Well, I'm going to do something this morning that I very, very seldom do, and that is I'm going to bring a message to you here that I brought in another place, and that was last night. I was in Peru, and I was actually there, spoke the last two nights. And as God moves each one of us differently, sometimes we try to figure him out to see if we can develop a pattern of hearing. At least I do. And what I find out is he wants to speak when he wants to speak so that he'll know it was him and not my pattern. And so I spoke on Friday night, and then I drove over to Wabash to be at my daughter and son-in-law's house and spend a little time with them, and they didn't want to go to bed right away. Got there a little before 10, and we stayed up till a little after midnight. And I'm supposed to go in the morning and spend the day in back in Peru, you know, and so I deferred and had breakfast with them first and then went back over. But what was strange to me is that sleeping there in the night on Friday night, I had thought I had some direction for Saturday, but it's one of those nights when suddenly something begins to prompt you, and I felt the Lord just speak to me in a way that sometimes you, if you've done it a number of times, you sense that he wants to give you something that you're going to speak about. And so I looked at the clock. It was 3:10. And I'm telling you, for the next probably close to an hour and a half, God just opened some things up to me and gave me a trek to follow. I didn't turn on a light. I didn't get my you know, phone out to write notes. I felt that I had a good enough grasp that now I definitely had some direction. So there's a couple people here who were down there last night, and so you get second servings. But for the most of you, this will be something that's new, and I will tell you this was new revelation to me. The way that God ministers to me many times is he'll give me a word, and what that means is I'm going to study that word, and then I'm going to try to find my way into what he wants to come out of that. And the word that he gave me was testimony. And it didn't take me long, though, because in my mind I began to rehearse where I find testimony in the word while I'm laying in the dark. And I ended up coming to the passage that I felt he wanted to give the foundation out of. And it's a familiar passage to you, and Aaron's going to be so kind to put most of them up here on the screen. And so I want to read this to you. This is Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. And it says this, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now is salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren, our brethren, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.'" That's what we were up against. Verse 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And because of that, they loved their lives, not even unto death. They gladly gave up their lives if necessary." And so I began to just look at this a little bit, trying to get in my mind what it is that God wants me to talk about. And as it began to unfold to me, I just felt like, okay, there's got to be more to this. And so as I got up the next day and I began to just, you know, get my Bible program and start studying out all the testimony stuff. And it didn't take very long until he really did give me good direction. And I love that about the Lord. So this morning, I'm going to do it a lot in the way that I did last night. And so just so that everybody understands, God has given us the Old Testament so that we could understand our new covenant. And the passage that he writes about that, it says that these things happened to them, and it's talking about Moses, and it says these things happened to them for our example and for our admonition, that we might know how to, in a sense, conduct ourselves in these last days. They're written so that we could understand how God wants to work in our lives in these last days. And so when I began to, I mean, that's just been a theme in my mind for several months now, because I've been studying different things, and maybe that's a result of this too. I don't know. I don't try to figure that part out. But he took me to the tabernacle, okay? Not literally and not even in vision, just in mind. And in the tabernacle, there was this place beyond the second curtain. What's that place called? The Holy of Holies. Who got to go in there? The high priest. How often? Once a year. What was in there? The Ark of the Covenant. What was on top of the Ark of the Covenant? The mercy seat. That's not the original place where the ark is mentioned in Scripture, if you know that. What do you suppose is the first ark that was mentioned in Scripture? Yeah, it's now in Kentucky, but it used to be in Turkey. Yeah, it's Noah's ark. And that was called an ark. You know what another ark was of the Old Testament? Huh? Yeah, well, that could have been that bow in the sky. But Moses was put in a basket, and yet it was called an ark. And so you see the ark in a sense of deliverance, or truthfully, do you know what the Ark of the Covenant was called before it was the Ark of the Covenant? Say it louder. The Ark of Testimony. In fact, it is the Ark of Testimony all the way through Exodus, Leviticus, and then you finally come into like Numbers, and it is called then the Ark of the Covenant. But before that, many times in Scripture, it's called the Ark of Testimony. And it's important, and that became the subject of what God wanted me to minister, because you see, an ark is something that has an open space in the middle of it for the purpose for which it's going to house whatever's going to be put in it. An ark is simply a storage or a container that is going to have it. See, the ark is, in a sense, separate from the mercy seat, even though the mercy seat always sat upon the ark. Now, if you would, you can go to Hebrews chapter 9. And I'm going to draw a parallel this morning between the Old Testament and the New Testament in the Ark of Testimony. Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 3, it says this: "And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer behind that veil, and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein, inside, was the golden pot that had manna in it, and Aaron's rod that had budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly." Just want you to pay attention to that ark, okay? That ark was made to put things in. And God instructed these three things to be put inside, and it talks about them. It says there was a golden pot of manna, there was Aaron's rod that budded, and there was the tables of covenant. But I want to take you to a couple passages that's going to give you the symbolism of why these things were important, all right? And so in Exodus chapter 16, in verses 33 and 34, we're going to read this, and it says, "And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept." Okay, now I'm just going to ask you a simple question. What was the law of manna? Say it loud, Don.
Only collect enough for that day.
Except. Yeah, whichever day that was. Collect two parts for Sabbath so that you don't gather on the Sabbath. But Aaron is instructed to fill a pot with manna so that generations down the road, they'll see the pot of manna and remember. It's the Ark of Testimony. Why did they need manna? To eat, right? Kind of hungry? How about some cake? I don't know. I mean, how many of you eat the same thing every day? How many think that wouldn't work very good for some of us? But the point is, God was showing himself and wanted to keep a testimony about how he provided for them for their journey. He was going to send them on a long journey. They didn't know how long, and he knew how long just because he's God. But he was going to provide for them on their long journey that they were going to be on before they came to the promised land. And manna was going to be a daily part of what they could depend on him for. That's why the golden pot of manna was stored up in the testimony. Then we go to Exodus chapter 31. And it says this in verse 18, "And he," God, "gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of what? Testimony. Tables of stone written with the finger of God. Now see, we look at the Ten Commandments and we say, what was in there? Ten Commandments. Actually, they were two tables, according to this, of testimony. Why were they called the tables of testimony? I think the last part of that verse answers that. Any of you ever seen a finger come and carve out stone in letters that you could read and observe? The testimony is that God speaks and instructs his people, and he's willing to write the law in stone with his own finger, and you put that in the Ark of Testimony to remember that God himself wrote on the stone, so you know no man did this. This is God's doing, and God speaks to us. This is a God who is interested in us. And you put them in the Ark. And that's why it's called the Ark of Testimony. In Exodus chapter 40, because if you realize that Moses got the instruction for the tabernacle all the way from Exodus 25 on through the end, you realize that they were building it and making it and doing all this stuff for quite a period of time. And then in Exodus 40, and it says, "And he took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staves on the ark and put the mercy seat above the ark." In other words, he put these things inside of it, closed it up, pulled the veil. Now it's in position. Now we're going to go forward with the worship that is in this dispensation. So now you have the golden pot of manna on the inside. God, who's going to give you what you need for your journey. Here's the Ark of Testimony, and now has the two tables of testimony on the inside, written with the finger of God, so you would know no man came up with these things. And then we have one other one, and this is found in Numbers chapter 17. And we're going to read a section, and then I'm going to explain to you what actually happened here, so in case you don't know. In Numbers 17:7, it says, "And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, the next day, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not." This is quite a story, but he's telling him, take Aaron's rod that budded and put it in the Ark of Testimony, because this is going to be a living witness about something. Here's the story of Korah. You see, Korah was also of the tribe of Levi. And Korah had become subversive because he came to Moses and he said, "Hey, Moses, I don't know who you think you are, but there's others of us who are from the tribe of Levi also. And we think we hear from God too. And you take too much on yourself. In fact, I think that you're trying to put yourself over the rest of us, and I think you need to be called out on it." And Moses said, "Korah, that's not my intention. That's not what I'm after. Please don't push this issue." Korah would not relent and came back and said, "No. You need to hear from us too. We have something to say in this too. Just because our position is not what your position is, what makes you so special in this place that you think you can just always tell us what to do?" And Moses was grieved. And he went in and sought the Lord. And the Lord told him to do something. He said, "Call for Korah and his 250 men to show up in front of the tabernacle, every one of them having a censer in their hand, which holds fire. And then tell them to put their incense on it and bring it to the tabernacle." So 250 guys bring their golden censers with incense to the tabernacle. And Moses entreated the Lord and said, "God, you have to do what you're going to do. I'm trying to follow your instructions. This is what I'm going to do here." And God spoke right back to Moses and said, "Instruct the people right now. You tell anybody that wants to move away from the tents of Korah and his sons and these 250. Step away, because I'm going to bury them. I'm going to open up the ground, and it's going to swallow every one of these." And Moses did as he was commanded, and he spoke and said, "Hey, guys, I don't want to alarm you, but anybody that is not with this, you better step back, because God's got some plan, and I don't want you to fall into something that you didn't want to be a part of. You can stay right where you're at if you're with Korah and his group. That's no problem. You can stay right there." And as he spoke, the ground opened up and swallowed the tents and the families of these 250. And immediately, the fire of God came and burned up all 250 of those men, to the point that the only thing left, basically, was the brass censers that were laying on the ground, 250 of them. And God said, "Moses, collect those 250 censers, and I want you to beat them into a flat plate And I want you to put that over the altar so that it will be a constant reminder of those who came back. And then he said, now, one from every tribe, bring me a rod. And a rod was simply a dried piece of wood that represented them. He said, write the name of their tribe on it. And he wrote the name on every one of those. And he gathered the 12 and took them into the tabernacle and said, okay, God, here's what you have commanded me to do. And he said, now I'm going to show you what I have put in place so that the right people could be in charge because I know who they are. And Moses goes back in and he looks at the 12 rods standing out there. And there's one rod that obviously sticks out from all the rest. There's one rod that's got blooms and blossoms on it, and it even has fruit on it in a day. How do you have almonds come out of a rod that's been cut off? How does that happen? It doesn't. But what you have is then the instruction of God to say, now take that rod and put it in the ark of testimony, because that's the understanding of whom I have anointed to be leading in this time. So this speaks of the anointing of God that's going to bring you into the position that you need to walk in with the honor of knowing that God has established that in the life. And so Aaron was now, you know, known because not only did the fire fall and the families went into the ground, but Aaron's rod budded and they had the covering on the altar now of all the censers that had been beaten flat and Aaron's rod in the ark of testimony. God's serious about what he does. Man, we can get messed up. That's the story of Korah. So now you understand why there was a golden pot of manna in there to say, I'll provide whatever you need for your journey. You have the tables of testimony, which means that I speak and I'll write my laws for you. And you'll understand that I am the one who write those things. And you don't have to show anybody to say, well, did Moses do that in the night or did he have carvers do that? No, it was the hand of God that wrote those tables of testimony. And now you have Aaron's rod that shows that the anointing of God rests with those that he calls and anoints. And I look at this and I have to say, okay, God, you're showing me these things for a purpose. And so in my study, if I'm reading scripture right and it says that these things happened unto them as our examples and an admonition to us who the ends of the world has come. So he's going to show us how this time, how we're to walk in these things because of this. And I want to help you with this morning. Because when I heard these words this morning, I knew I was on the right track. Sometimes you know what I think in my humanity? God, is this fresh bread this morning if I just spoke it last night? You see, that's how sometimes this works. My flesh says, well, you've already spoken that. That's not, you know. Because I don't ever go back to a message. I want what he's saying to me now. It's for my safety so that I know I have to seek him. And I'm going, God, but I'll tell you straight out, I kind of knew when he gave it to me that it was going to be for last night and this morning. And so as I'm looking through this and I'm going, okay, so help me, God, to understand then how this works in the New Testament. And I'm telling you, it was just like a beautiful revelation. What is the New Testament ark of testimony? You are. I am. How did I get here? The mercy seat. I had to come in through the blood of Jesus Christ. They always had to apply blood to the mercy seat. The real atonement happened on the mercy seat. And yet when Jesus was crucified and the blood was spilled out and his life stopped, the veil was torn so that now the mercy seat was open and anyone who needed the mercy of God could openly come in. It went away from a high priest only once a year to a kingdom of priests that he has called and made us one with. So I want to help you understand how you are the ark of testimony in the New Testament. And like I say, this was new revelation to me. But then I started putting things together, and so I want to read to you a couple passages of Scripture. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says this, Jesus answered and said, it is written, he's being tempted by Satan. And it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We all know that passage, right? But let me ask you something. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How do we perceive what comes out of the mouth of God? How does faith come? Hearing. And if you hear God, what does that mean? It means God speaks. Do you realize that the first article that you probably have in your ark of testimony is that you heard God at some point? Something became real to you that you know you didn't come up with. Even if it was the pulling on your heart to say, I've got to do some things different. I can tell God you want to speak into my life. I can tell that you're trying to get a hold of me and I need to learn and pay attention. And you speak to me and I hear you. And so that's my verification. He speaks. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 16 says this, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. No longer on stones. No longer do they have to go into some special place because it's for all of us. No, he personally writes on our hearts and on our minds. His voice speaks and he writes his laws on my heart and on my mind. And I'm the one who now has to obey because I don't know what he wrote on your heart and on your mind, but I know what he wrote on mine. And so that becomes my testimony that God not only speaks to me, but he instructs me and he leads me and he helps me understand what it is he wants me to know from him. That becomes my testimony. That I put into my ark and say, God, thank you that the mercy seat is on top, but now you're filling my ark. First John chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. Nope, just 27. Don't want to scare you, Aaron. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Just a quick question, folks. What anointing did you receive that abides in you? Say it loud, Joyce. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the anointing of God into your life. You can have other callings, you can have other anointings, but the initial anointing that comes into your life is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus actually paid for. As soon as he died on the cross and rose again, we were now able to participate in spirit life. And when he visited them that first day, and it says he appeared unto them and said, peace be unto you, and then he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. From that time on, there was anointing on the inside of them. They were changed. They were different. They had a different receiver. They didn't just have to come in from the flesh. They now had a new antenna for the things of the Spirit, and they could understand. The anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. You see, the entrance into this spirit life brings that special anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know what makes you strange to people? The Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's not natural. It's not from here. It's from there. It sets me apart. It speaks a different language. It moves in a different way. It leads in a different way. It's just because it's not visible doesn't mean it's not real. It's just that now there's a compass on the inside of me that my north has switched, and now it abides by the power of the Spirit of God. And that makes more sense to me most of the time than this does. And I have to get used to how it works, because my old compass always just wanted to go north and that kind of stuff. But now I've got a compass that leads me in ways that I didn't understand, but that's the anointing of God that wants to direct my steps. And he wants me to understand, and I have this Holy Spirit living in the ark of God as the witness that he has anointed me for the things that I'm going to accomplish. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Peter's writing to his beloved people and says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." And then this is the verse that you'll understand very clearly, and it's a familiar verse to many of you. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue." You remember that golden pot? What was it for? What was it filled with? Manna. What was it to represent? That you're going to have provision for the journey that you're called to. Here we have the promise of God. You see, in the Old Testament, we needed a physical ark so we could handle the physical understandings of the physical authority and the physical manna and the physical testimony. And now he writes on our hearts and he speaks by his Spirit. And he also has given unto us precious promises in the Spirit. And he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So in other words, into this ark, there is this, by the Spirit of God, there is this hidden wisdom that is in there, but we have to inspect it and look at it and learn of it. Because he doesn't just throw it all at us and say, it's a download. All you got to do is plug in it in your USB or get on and get it out of the cloud. You know, No. No, it's investment. The more we invest in this anointing that we have received, the more he begins to unveil things that are in front of us. And I know, I'll tell you what I heard when I was hearing these words come out this morning. I was hearing that there are people, good people, by the way, God-fearing, God-loving people, who maybe are either timid and afraid to step into the Jordan on their way to Jericho. Because I'm stepping into a territory I haven't stepped into before. And the truth is, in here, I'm scared to death. I know I've heard from God. I'd like to think I heard from God. I can talk myself out of it on the wrong days. But I believe I've heard. And God, who knows our hearts, knows that the truth is we love him. Love him. Want to please him. But I don't want to be dumb. And I don't want to fail. So sometimes it's easier not to step in with a fear of failure than it is to step in and go, God, if this ain't you, this ship don't float. And he's going, I'll make you walk on the water if you need to. He has given us everything according as his divine empowerment hath given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. I spoke on Friday night about what I believe is my favorite verse in all of Scripture, which is Ephesians 3:9, where Paul's writing about this dispensation of grace that was given to him. And he says, given me to you, for you. In other words, when I went to heaven and God downloaded all this stuff into me, look, I don't know what to say except I know that I saw it, and so I know it wasn't just for me. So when I come down, it's for all of us, so therefore I'm going to deliver it to you. And this is what my mission is now. It says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which hath before been hidden in Christ, but now is being revealed. And you look at this and you're going, okay. Now, if I'm going to take that literally, which I'm fairly a literalist in Scripture most of the time, unless you can clearly see it's allegorical, I have to look at this and say, even if he takes Scripture and says, these things were written for our examples and for our admonition, so that we would know how to conduct ourselves upon whom the end of the world has come, then I have to read that and say, okay, if I believe that these are the last days, then I should be paying attention to some things, because the very things he wanted to do, he wants to do again. Now, I'm going to say this. Do you know when they went to Jericho to take Jericho? Do you remember how they walked around Jericho? Whose promise was it? Now, whose promise was it that God was going to give them a land flowing with milk and honey? God promised who? Abraham, right? 400 years earlier. Now they're coming into the promised land, and as soon as they cross Jordan, first city they come to is Jericho. Walled city, which is huge. And they say that the walls were thick enough that chariots could pass each other on the wall. And God says, I want you to take Jericho. And so they sent spies. You guys know the story. But God clearly instructed them, when you walk around Jericho, here's what I want you to do. I want seven priests to walk first with ram's horn, and right behind it, guess what they were going to have? The Ark of Testimony. Why is it so important to keep the Ark of Testimony right in front of us when we're going to battle? Because in order to even think that you could win this battle, I have to be reminded of everything he's done in the past. I still have the golden pot of manna. I still have Aaron's rod that buds. I still have the two tables of stone written by the finger of God in here. And we're carrying that around for one reason. That's the testimony of God said we would do that, and he did it. Now, God told us to do this, and we believe he's going to do it, because it doesn't look natural. It doesn't look possible, and yet this is what he's called us to. You see, the anointing which you have received of him is going to take you individually in places where it's going to be uncharted for you. It's going to take you away from some people and to other people. It's going to have a different facet of understanding. And it's easy to sit in the church, and it's easy to come together with the same people. And we love that because it's convenient, but it's also uplifting and edifying, and it's awesome. But what about them?
And we have to understand that he's building the church and he's creating the kingdom. And if he tells one of us that we have to go here or we're going to do that or we're going to do that, that's within the anointing that he has for us. And so in your ark of testimony, the anointing which you have received is going to send you into places. And you can't compare yourself to somebody else. You're a different ark. You've got different things on the inside of your ark than anybody else. Your testimony is different. Your writing is different. Your manna is different. But what he has said is, I will anoint you, and I will speak to you, and I will provide for you, and you won't have to concern yourself with how. What you've got to do is just listen. What if they wouldn't have put the seven guys out there with ram's horns? What if they wouldn't have put that there? Then they're not in the instructions, are they? And so we've got to say, why does God give instructions? Because he wants you to know that you're going to live in testimony, not outside of his instruction. The testimony of God is what creates the environment for us to walk in obedience. And when we're in obedience, he speaks loudly. He can instruct us better. You know, part of maturing in God is simply hearing better. None of us are great. I mean, I marvel at Old Testament guys. I mean, I tell you right now, if I'm Abraham hearing, yeah, just take your only son, yes, your only son Isaac, and take him up to Mount Moriah and put him on the altar and kill him. And I'm going, there is no way that I'm not saying, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Unless I know the voice. So the first time you hear the voice of God, and the second time, and the fourth time, and the eighth time, isn't going to be for you to take up your only son and put him in an altar. He's not going to do that. Abraham had heard how many times? Over and over and over again, God has instructed him with things of obedience so that he could get used to his voice. Some of us are so afraid. I see, that's why I love these times, you know, and I don't know what some of you think when people come up here and speak and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think all of us should. And I think we have to make sure that this is for now. And we have to have these checkoffs. There should be. But what I love is people who are coming. I had somebody come to me this morning with specifics. And I said, well, you know, I don't know how to get to that part of it. But I said, I want to pray with you that God will highlight the individual. She knew it was for an individual. I'm going to pray that God would highlight the individual that you needed to go to. And so you're just looking at this and going, I mean, honestly, can you imagine? God, I just want to obey you, but what's a highlight? I ain't seeing a highlight. And yet suddenly, it could be that somebody sticks out like something to you and you're going, oh, God, I was hoping you wouldn't do that. I mean, come on. We're human beings trying to say, I heard from God, stepping into new territory, trying to justify that in some means and say, look, I don't know, but I think God told me to come and pray for you. I don't know. Is this something that you could use? I don't know. But when we get better and better at that, pretty soon we don't ask. We just say, God, who? And we just look. And if I don't see it, okay, evidently it's going to come later. That's how you learn. But if you never step over the threshold, one thing is you'll never experience what God has really filled your ark for. And as we open up the understanding and have more instruction, and he writes more laws on our hearts and on our minds, and we understand more of what he wants us to do, we're looking at this and we're going, God, I don't know. I sat with a worship pastor yesterday for about an hour and a half. This guy's amazing. He can play 12 instruments. He's in a band, Christian band. He leads worship. He's also the youth leader because church isn't that large. And yet he just began to tell me the passion in his heart. And yet the church he's in, they just don't respond. He said, I want it. In fact, hopefully none of his church is watching. He said, I've been the worship pastor here for a little over 4 years. And this was for yesterday he told me this. So he said, Friday night, he said, it's the first time that I've been in this building that I've heard the audience sing louder than those of us on the stage. And he said, I couldn't hold it together. I just had to weep. So I went to our guy who leads worship for Revive, and I said, this is what he said. He's got a passion for worship. He just needs encouragement to follow this anointing because I think he can get him there if he just doesn't quit. The anointing is there. And yet last night, you know, the people, in fact, last night, after the message, this worship leader began to lead again, and it went on and on and on. And I could tell a lot of these people were going, are we just going to keep going? And he was just lost in it and led one song after another. And I'm just relishing this, going, God, you're doing something. But see, sometimes God has to come along with somebody else's anointing in order to stretch us into new ways of observing our own anointing. Does that make sense to you? You see, that's where we don't get sometimes that I'm going to disqualify myself before you can say two words. But God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to learn how to trust him. And so he's going to put things into your ark so that you can learn to trust him. Go back and look in your ark and say, when do I think it was the first time that I really heard him? Now let me begin to rehearse places that I know that I heard him, because there's no way I would have naturally thought that. When did he open a door for me that I know I didn't open? When did he provide something for me that I know only he could have done that, and I didn't do that myself? And that becomes the things that are in my ark of testimony. And he wants us to carry that into our battles, so that when we're there, instead of just seeing an enemy that looks like there's no way we could ever win, he wants you to say, what do you think I have you carrying around this testimony for? Have I not been with you in the past? Have I not anointed you to go forward? Have I not provided for your steps that you're going through? And you think I'm going to quit now if I did all that? You think I'd only invested in you to show off? No, I want you to accomplish things in your life that there's no way you could have accomplished unless I had filled your ark of testimony. These are the things I look at and I'm going, God, if all of this, I mean, look, I've never heard this message before except last night, so I'm not assuming you have. And yet when I see this, I'm going, well, God, if all these things were written for our example and our admonition upon whom the ends of the earth has come, then what is it about this that we're supposed to do? And he reveals things. I don't know why I've never heard this before. And there's probably somebody that's preached that before. I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying is, this is how I know God speaks to me. And therefore, that becomes part of my testimony. My ark gets filled up when I wake up at 3:10 in the morning and I hear the word testimony, and later on in that day, I'm getting this message and I'm going, I know this, that ain't me. There is no way I get there from here in this head. And I'm no different than you. Just a different anointing in a various arc. But all of us can hear and walk out what God wants us to do if we'll keep filling the ark of testimony and looking back and saying, God, you were so faithful there. You were so faithful there. You were so faithful there. You have spoken. I've heard you, and I know I have. I've spoken out even things that you've said, and I know that they hit the place. I know that you have provided for me. And I have sensed you writing new laws on my heart over and over and over again. How many of you are not who you used to be? Why? Because you just decided to be good? Don't raise your hand. There's an altar. No, we don't decide to be good. We're sanctified by what? By the Spirit of God that comes and lives on the inside of us when we say, yes, God, you be Lord. I give up, I surrender. And when you begin to fill me up, my testimony begins. And I'm so satisfied. And you wonder why you're weird? Because you're not a human anymore. That's who you are housed in. You're the ark of testimony of the power of God walking among people. Can you imagine? I mean, see, this makes more sense to me in so many ways. Jesus sent out the 70. I'll quit soon. Jesus sent out the 70. Even sending out the 12. And he told them, he said, no. Go into the different cities. I'm going to be going to these cities, so go into those cities. And when you go in, if you find peace there, abide with them. And if there's no peace there, if your peace returns to you, I mean, in other words, they throw your peace back out with you, take off your sandals and just... But here's what he said in between there. He said, if they receive you, tell them, the kingdom of God has come to you. He even told them this. If they don't receive you, shake off the dust and tell them, and the kingdom of God has come to you. He wants to know, he wants them to know what they're receiving and what they're refusing. It's not your ark, it's his ark of testimony. You're simply the witness of what he's put in your ark. He's made us capacity storage places for the things that he wants to assemble in our lives so he can use it as a testimony to expand his kingdom and say, I'm still in the building business. I open up and I cleanse arks and then I fill them up with things that are going to make new testimonies all the time. Oh, hallelujah is right. You see, this is how this feels sometimes, and I want you to understand because I believe there's people in here who are going to be preachers of the gospel. There's times when things are just going to come to you and they're going to sit on your shoulders and they're going to be a weight on you. That's called the burden of God. You know who puts that on for you? Spirit of God. Because God the Father's up there and he's going, you know that Ephesians 2:10 passage? We are his workmanship created for good works in Christ, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in. Yeah, well, I'm ready to give that one instructions. And Jesus says, okay. This is all found in 1 Corinthians 12, by the way. You're going to find the Father and Jesus and the Spirit all organizing the gifts of the Spirit. And the Father says it to Jesus, and Jesus says, it's time. And it's according to 1 Corinthians 12, and it's the Spirit that makes it manifest in the life. Because these things were already in there, but they've never been activated by the anointing which you have received. And when you yield to the anointing of God in your life, he begins to put a little bit of fire in the sensor of that gift in your life. And it comes out like incense and it begins to waft among the people. And pretty soon there's going to be something that leads you to people. And if you really get involved in the anointing which God has given you, pretty soon people are going to come to you and say, would you please also help me with this? That's the way God works. We don't show off our ark. Our ark's not a toy. There's another story in the Bible too. You know who wants to take your ark? The Philistines of the spirit. You remember they captured the ark? That's a good, funny story. They soon had trouble on their hands because they didn't know how to handle the anointing of God, which was only for specific people. And it caused them to have issues. And they gladly put that ark on a cart with milk cows and said, "Send it away. In fact, we'll put some gold in this thing." And they sent it away, and it walked right back to where the Israelites could recover the ark of God. Why? Because the enemy would love to steal your ark. He would love to have some counterfeit trying to work it. But the giftings and callings of God are without repentance. And he wants you to stay steady and believe that God will perform in you the thing that he's promised. I want you to hear these things this morning. I believe we are in days when there's going to be more and more of us who are challenged to step into places we've never stepped in before. And you have to know that you have the ark of testimony in order to perform it. He speaks to you. He anoints you. And he'll give you provision. And that's what he will always do. If we live in awe of our testimony, we will be more able and convinced of the opportunity to share it. Let's stand together, if you would, please.
So I have placed within you the Spirit, a battery that needs charge. And many of you today, as you've listened, have been charged on the inside. When you come to a service, you pray for the man of God or the woman of God to be charged. And you come ready to receive yourself and your battery to be charged more. Because there are chargers all over the place. And when you come, you expect one another to charge your battery. When you get in the Word, you expect your battery to be charged. So it's important. It's important where you go and what you do. Because you need to be charged so that then when I send you to someone with a dead battery, you can charge them.
Amen. We are the battery chargers of this world, aren't we? Service isn't quite over. I don't believe God speaks these things for nothing. I want to give an altar call this morning for two things. One, I really haven't accepted, knowing what God has for me, I really haven't allowed myself to go into that place where I know he has placed a burden on me. Or I just feel like I don't live in testimony. I don't feel like my ark has a whole lot in it. And I want my ark to be filled. I don't feel like I've got some great testimony of hearing you and seeing you speak. I know you've written some things on my heart, but I just don't feel like I'm anything. Today's kind of like hearing a message. You know what I call this message? 310. because that was the clock when I heard testimony. Why? I have no idea. Why 3:10? But for me, I look at this and I'm going, God, you know who's here. You know what you want done. And if it takes 3:10 to stir my heart so that it can be brought out in ways and people can respond, then so be it. But I'm not going to take it lightly, because if he put it in my ark, then I would expect that he wants to do something with it. So if that's you today and you're hearing this and you're just saying, God, I've got too many things going on. There's no way I can. I just don't see how. I don't understand. I can't. Here's your can. Or if I don't feel like I've got a whole lot in my ark. This is that place. And so we're just going to sing a little bit. And if that's you, come. And you might have somebody that comes and puts a hand on your shoulder and just prays, but don't mind that. Keep telling God what you want. Let him fill your ark. Let's sing together, Justin.